Well, need the Lord's help this afternoon. Ask for your prayers. Lord, bless His word to us. Like to consider the thought of spiritual food here for a little while this afternoon. Like to begin in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Familiar passage to us, and I believe a beautiful one. Isaiah 55 and verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." This is a scripture that I believe is an invitation. It's one that I don't maybe would consider this an evangelistic message per se, but it is the plea and the invitation of the Spirit. Come ye to those that are weary and sick of sin and worn out and tired and not satisfied. The invitation is to come. And it's borne out in Revelation as well. It says the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come. Let him that is athirst, let him come and let him drink of the water of life freely. Let him drink, let him partake of what the Lord has come to give and to offer." It says, "Why do you spend your money?" You know, I believe that many people are spending their entire lives for nothing that yields nothing more at the end of it than just what this life has to offer. Nothing more to it than the day-to-day substance of life. But thank the Lord there's something more than that for us today. Remember Jesus with the woman at the well? As He met her there and began to talk with her, and Jesus, of course, knowing her and knowing her life, and spoke to her as they got into the conversation, and he knew all about it, and she marveled at it. She went back and she told those in the town and the village there that this man knows everything. He knows all that I've done. He knows my life. Jesus, of course, knew that. And He knew whenever she began to inquire of the water that He was speaking of. He said, "If you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. But if you drink of this water from the well, you're going to thirst again. You're going to have to keep coming back. You'll drink it. It'll last for a little while, but then it'll be gone." But as He began to point out to her, "I have something more." And of course, she didn't understand it at first and said, "Give me then of this drink. Give me of this water." Jesus, looking on her, knew that she thirsted for more than H2O. It was more than just the literal water that she thirsted for. There was something deeper within her that was longing for something that water could not satisfy. So it is with every man, woman, and child. Isaiah 29, speaking of the enemies of the Lord and of His people, it says that it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and he eats. And then he awakens and he realizes that he's still hungry. You know, that's what the deception of sin is. It offers the promise of to the thirsty and the hungry spirit, "Here's what you need. You need the next thing that I'm offering you. You need to fill your life with this. You need to give yourself unto..." I was talking to a man just the other day. He was asking if I enjoy golfing or if I was a golfer. And he said, "You know, I spent much of my early young life golfing." And he said, "I shouldn't have. I look back on my family and my children and I realize I shouldn't have spent so much time." Well, I've played golf before. I don't have a problem going if you can find enjoyment out of hitting a little white ball. then I think that's all right in moderation. But don't fill yourself with that. Don't let that be your meat. Don't let that be what you're pursuing to try to fill something in your life. Oh, there are so many things besides golf. The enemy has something for every one of us. The enemy has something that if we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we'll find ourselves gravitating towards filling ourselves with something else. Because we're going to feed one or the other. We're going to feed the flesh or feed the spirit. Is that not the battle that we fight? The spiritual warfare that we fight every day, it's the flesh versus the spirit. They lust one against the other so that you can't do what you would. Unto Peter he said, Peter, go and read and pray, watch and pray. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're warring between the two. You're torn between the two. Jesus said, maybe we'll read the passage in the 6th chapter of John. I know these are familiar verses to us. I trust they'll be an encouragement as we look back on them. John 6, beginning with the 26th verse. Jesus, if you look at the context here, He had fed the multitude that came and they had been listening to the teachings of Jesus and they were in the flesh. We all are. The Lord understands the needs of these temporal bodies. He understands that we have to clothe ourselves, that we have to feed ourselves. But He told the disciples, don't let that be your focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let that be your meat. Let that be the thing that you seek to fill your life with. And as you do that, you'll find that everything else takes care of itself. The Lord knows how to provide. He knows how to clothe the lilies of the field. So how much more you, if you have need, if you have temporal, physical needs. You know the Lord knew here the temporal needs of these people on the hillside. And He was able to go, as we know the story, and feed the 5,000 with just a little bit and multiply it. And so we fast forward here after that time. There was a multitude of people that followed Jesus. And if I may say it, who wouldn't at that point? Whenever you know there's one that you can follow that'll satisfy every need that you have. Jesus answered them in 26th verse and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You heard they had there in that setting both spiritual food and the temporal, the physical food. You heard the words of life. You heard that which should have ministered unto your spirit. That fed the spirit within you. That's what will really satisfy the needs that you have. But yet you come after me not to eat of that food again, but you come to me focused again on life. Focused on the hunger of your body. Don't allow yourself to be focused on that. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sent. Sealed. 31st verse. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Thank the Lord. Again, He knows the needs that we have. He knew the temporal needs that the children of Israel had. You think the Lord led them out into the wilderness and somehow overlooked that one detail that, you know what, no food grows out there. No, He didn't. He knew all along that He had the provision for Him. He led them, you just follow me and everything else I'll take care of for you. Yes, it was a valid need. And whenever we talk about the flesh versus the spirit, the flesh as in our temporal man, the need for sleep is essential. But do you know you can read about it in Proverbs, what too much sleep will do? The need to eat is essential for life. But too much of it and too much focus on that is detrimental to you. The Lord knows the temporal, physical needs that we have. And He did the children of Israel. And He was faithful in their times of distress. Whenever they were in the midst of a nation, an environment, surroundings where nothing was conducive to life. I want us to realize this afternoon, I believe that's in many ways the type of conditions in which we live in our world. It's void of spiritual life. This world is pursuing everything but that which feeds the Spirit. They're all about feeding the flesh. What do you think Hollywood makes their money off of? You think it's off of feeding the Spirit? You think it's off of encouraging and challenging by the Word of God? We know it's not. It's by and the things that they know will sell. Super Bowl ads or whatever commercials it is. We know the things that will sell. It's that which appeals unto the flesh. And that's the wares that the enemy is peddling all across our land and our society. It's being offered. It's being set before us. There is before us an ever-present banquet for the flesh. If at any point we should choose or begin to let up, begin to get careless, there is of any variety of things that would appeal unto my flesh that the enemy is right there to offer unto me. Maybe it's things even that in the rightful place are not wrong, but I begin to overindulge. I begin to allow sleep to rob me of my communion with the Lord. I begin to allow the cares of life that are essential for me to deal with. I begin to allow it to sap the spiritual life from me. But I want us to realize that there is one that prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. There is one that has another table that's spread for us that's full of spiritual food. He has that spiritual manna for us so we can be able, right in the midst of a land. What is it, Jeremiah, maybe the 17th chapter, it talks about the wilderness, the desert and the solitary place, the lonely, desolate wilderness places, that right in the midst of that place, you'll be as a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Your roots will go down. You'll find the water. And right in the midst of that land, you'll be able to prosper. Thank the Lord today that we can prosper right in the midst of the land that we live in, right in the midst of the doubts, the unbelief, the skepticism, the questions, the spite, the shame that's associated with standing for the gospel. Thank the Lord that right in the midst of it, the Lord's prepared a banquet for us. The Lord has provided that which is guaranteed to sustain our life. It's guaranteed. It doesn't matter. That vision of the tree, that's such a beautiful and encouraging picture for us. It's independent of the conditions around. It says, it shall not see when heat cometh, neither shall its leaf wither. That's the place that I want to be in. Lord, I want to be able to find the table that You've prepared for me right in the midst of the desert. The Lord knows how, right in the times of our need, the Lord knows how to send spiritual manna, doesn't He? You ever have the Lord come down right in a time of need or a time when you're feeling alone and lonely and maybe discouraged? The Lord knows how if we're looking to Him. If we're hungry, if our focus is on spiritual manna, the Lord knows how to meet our needs. He was faithful to the children of Israel. But the point that Jesus was making here was that Moses gave you manna. But verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Is that our desire? Is that our prayer from day to day? Jesus' prayer was, if you'll remember, unto the Father, after this manner, Not just reciting these words, but let this be the prayer of your heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, in whatever form it might come, whatever you have for me, whatever you see that I need, Lord, provide for me what you see that I have need of. Remember the angel that awoke Elijah as he was discouraged and feeling defeated, and he woke him up and said, "Rise, eat." And he went and he laid back down again, and he woke him up and said, "Rise and eat a second time." The Lord knew that you've got something difficult ahead of you. You've got 40 days that you're going to have to travel. Now's the time to eat. Remember, the Lord set Joseph in a place, in a kingdom of Egypt, at a time whenever he knew that famine was coming. Whenever he knew that hardship was coming, and he set a faithful man there. To be able to look, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Provide for the days that are coming. Lord, help us that we lay up in store against the times that are to come. That I'm not waiting until I'm in the middle of a battle and then realize I'm so weak. I'm so spiritually weak. You know what? Now I realize when I need to get up and run or fight, I realize I haven't eaten in 2 weeks. I haven't eaten spiritually in a long time and I'm faint." You know that's what will happen, isn't it? If you don't eat, you begin to get weak. You begin to get faint. Even after a couple of days, your mind doesn't think the same way. It affects your reaction time. It affects your ability to think. How much more spiritually? Lord, help us to put value on spiritual manna. To put value on the importance of, as Jesus said, watch and pray. As we're encouraged and counseled, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It looks like foolishness unto the world, but do you know feeding anything but the flesh is foolishness to the world? But whenever I can go into a Bible study, a testimony service, hear an anointed message and it feed my spirit, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. I want the Lord to be able to nourish and grow this spiritual man. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven. He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Oh, Brother Fred and I were talking some before service. You know, this hunger and this thirst is one that you taste of it and it satisfies every longing that you have. You realize that this satisfies that nothing else was able to satisfy. Nothing else of all the world's delusive dreams. Nothing else was able to give me the peace and the satisfaction that this has. But you know, there's also a part of it that as I taste it, the more I taste, the more I want. The more I taste of it, the more that I want to be able to take in. And so yes, you can taste of this. And what he's really saying is you'll never come to a time when it's not enough. You'll never come to a place in your life where it will not meet the need of your soul. Where it won't meet the longing that you have. But oh, I would that, as one song says, would my soul could more encompass heaven's glory willed to me. Lord, I've tasted life's pure fountain, and my soul is satisfied. There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. You know, whenever our spirit tastes of that which is true spiritual manna, you know, it'll spoil us for this world. But as the battle we spoke of, the spirit versus the flesh, that's always contending the one after another. You go for a little while without eating. You go for a little while and you're not tending to the spiritual man. The enemy will begin to fill your mind and your heart and your desires with something else that will begin to numb that appetite for the things of God. Do we hunger as we should? Do we come to service? Do we come before the Lord with a kind of longing? With a kind of desire? You know what it is when you're hungry. Maybe a hard day of work and all you can think about almost is what I'm going to cook. Boy, this sounds good. I can't wait till I can go and fix some of this. And it begins to occupy your mind, doesn't it? Remember what David said? As a hart panteth after the water brook, so my soul pants after you, O God, for that time that I can appear before your presence. Lord, help us so we not get into a place that I get comfortable where I'm at, that I get complacent, that I can say I've tasted, I've gotten a portion of it, and I don't continue to seek, to long for, to have that longing in my heart. Lord, I want more. I want you to teach me. I want to be able, through the day, Lord, I want to hear from you. Yes. I want to read from your word. I want to look into it when I have some time. You know, the enemy is the thief of time. The enemy is the thief of... He's so an expert. He's perfected over time to know how, even when maybe we would have some time, to rob us of it. Because you know, if we're not careful, there'll never be a convenient time. There'll never be a time that is convenient for me to invest in my soul the kind of time that I should. The enemy will see to that, that it's not convenient. But if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, I believe the Scripture bears out, as Jesus said, that He will fill us and He'll satisfy that. Whenever we're dead, you don't eat anymore, do you? Whenever I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 5, 24, 25, after talking about the fruit of the flesh or the lust of the flesh, it says we have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. We've crucified it. We've killed it. And now, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us walk, now that this old man is crucified with its desires and lusts, as we spoke about a couple weeks ago, being alive unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm alive unto God. Reckon yourselves likewise to be dead unto sin. To be dead, like the song says, I have no thirsting for life's pleasure. That old man is crucified with the affections and lusts. I don't walk after the flesh, but I walk after the Spirit. I feed the Spirit. I listen to the Spirit. I walk in the ways of the Spirit. I don't walk in that path of carnality and of lust and of fleshly fulfillment any longer. That old man is crucified. I'm dead to that. But oh, I fear that too many Christians live a life of malnourishment. Too many people, they're not filling themselves to the fullness. I've tasted just a little bit. I've gotten enough so that I can satisfy, or maybe just cut the edge off of my appetite. But I also want to be able to feed the flesh. I also, whenever those desires, I give them room as well. So we heard about this morning the burden that we not live on the edge, that we not live according to the flesh, that I'm not trying to accommodate both. It's a place of no victory. It's a no man's land. I don't want to get there. Lord, help me to walk after the Spirit, that I not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's something I believe for every one of us to search, an examination of myself. Lord, am I feeding the Spirit? Lord, am I yielding myself unto the Spirit? Am I giving of myself fully unto you? I don't want to be in a place of malnourishment. I would that thy soul would prosper and be in health even as thy body. If I could see my soul, if what we looked on of one another were our souls, were our spirit, if we can look on and see with our natural eyes the soul of man, would we see that which is lean and gaunt and barely grasping to life, or would I, as the scripture in Isaiah says, let thy soul delight itself in fatness? I want to feed it. I want to invest in this. Lord, help us that we not become malnourished. You know, it'd be a shame to starve in a land of plenty. You look at the story in, I think it's 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. It's the story of the siege of Samaria by the Syrians. The Syrian host was encamped around the city. They had cut off the ability of the Samaritans from going out, from being able to go and get food or exchange in commerce and trade. Those that would come into the city, they cut off the supply. It's what a siege is. It's what the enemy tries to do whenever his purpose is, I'm going to bring them to their knees. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to defeat this city slowly but surely by cutting off their supply. You know, the enemy would try to do that with every one of us in a spiritual sense. He would try to come and surround us by the cares of life, by his opposition, by the spirit that would come against us and oppose us and try to cut off the very lifeline for us spiritually. Try to hinder our prayer life. Try to hinder my ability to really be able to understand and get a hold of what the Lord would have for us. It came to a time that there was so much hunger in that city. As we perhaps recall the story, that there were those, a couple of women in particular, that boiled their son to be able to eat. The conditions were that dire. They were withheld from that much food. But you know, that's different than famine, because there was food aplenty outside the city. There was plenty of food, as evidenced by the lepers that went out into the camp of the Syrians. Whenever the Lord had driven them out because they heard a noise, He went in and He found an abundance of food. Their tents were full of food, and they began to enjoy it and eat of it. And they came to a place that they stopped and said, We do not well. Because those within the city are dying of hunger, and here we are gorging ourselves. We're enjoying this. Oh, the Lord has such a bounty for us to partake of. But the enemy would try to cut us off from it. The enemy would try to cause us to starve in a land of plenty. And in a land today where it's so accessible, it's no restriction to be able to get a hold of a Bible. You can listen to messages online. You can look up Faith and Victories, the Gospel Truth, the Finding Truth and Life, I believe it is. So many different articles, Sunday school lessons online. You know, really, we're without excuse. Really, there's so many ways that we have access unto spiritual food if we'll pursue that. But the enemy would try right in the midst of this, and look at it happening all around us, of people that are starved of spiritual virtue, of any kind of spiritual strength about them, starving in a land of plenty. You can read in the 8th chapter of Amos about a famine. It said that I will send a famine in the land, but this won't be a famine of food or of bread, but it'll be a famine of hearing. It'll be a famine that you won't be able to hear the word of the Lord, or you won't hear, I'll send that famine. You don't have a desire for it. You don't have a love for the truth. And so your ears will be dulled to it. You won't be able to hear the word of the Lord. Oh, I believe that there are so many who are dull of hearing today. There is a famine of hearing in our land. Of all the Bibles, of all the messages that are available, yes, so few people are able to get a hold of it, are able to process and digest it and receive spiritual strength from them. To them, it's just words on a page or words that are spoken and has no spiritual meaning. Oh, what a dire place to get into. Whenever the Lord sends a famine of hearing, whenever I'm not able to hear, do we take for granted sometimes the blessing? It's a question that only we can answer individually. The privilege and the blessing that I have to hear the voice of the Lord. To hear the word of the Lord as it's preached, as it's brought forth, as it's sung through the songs. We are a blessed people. And we are a people without excuse. Lord, help us if the saints of old and under the bondage of Roman Catholicism and all of the dark times of the past, if they were able to be nourished and kept alive by the Spirit in the wilderness, Lord, help me in a land of plenty that I not starve to death. I don't want to stand in that day and be judged by those that said the Spirit met me and was faithful to me. I couldn't even go to a place where there were messages preached, where the truth went forth. I was taught nothing but falsehood. But the Spirit, I was searching, I was seeking. And the Spirit met me and He taught me and He fed me and kept me alive. What excuse am I going to have? Lord, help me to have a hunger and a thirst, to delight, to let my soul delight itself in fatness, in everything that the Lord has for me to indulge in. Spiritual indulgence. I want to encourage us too. Malachi, the 4th chapter in the 2nd verse, speaks of the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in His wings. Unto you that fear My name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You know what it's meaning by a calf of the stall? That which is fed, that which is fatted, the fatted calf, that which was fed for the purpose of fattening, of causing to flourish, to grow, to be not one of the lean calves, not one of the ones that you can look on and see the skin and the bones and you can tell they're malnourished. But this calf of the stall will be hand-fed, will be provided with the food that will fatten. You know, the Lord wants to treat every one of us as the fatted calf of the stall, to feed us, to nourish us. You know, we can look at and say, as children, I want to grow. I want to grow strong. And I never liked it when my parents or adults would say, you want to do that, eat some more spinach. Eat some more green beans. That wasn't the answer that I wanted to hear. But do you know what? Whenever you focus on eating and eating the right things and nourishing your body, you know the rest will come. Whenever we spiritually focus on nourishing my soul. And I've heard it said, you know, how many messages. You ever stop to think how many services in a year that we might attend? How many messages we might hear, and sometimes I can almost feel discouraged because I think I'm so limited. I hear so many good messages. And Lord, how much of it do I really retain? I look back 2 months ago and I couldn't tell you what I heard. I couldn't. Occasionally, if the Lord really witnesses, I'll always remember that. But as a general rule, it seems like so many things that I hear. You know, I heard one minister say, you couldn't look back 2 months ago and tell me what you ate. You couldn't look back 6 weeks ago and tell me this is exactly what I had. But I can look at you and know you've been eating. There's evidence of it. You know, whenever we're faithful and we're diligent to feed my soul. Sometimes I go to the Word of God and I open it up. Sometimes it's so rich I can't hardly take it in. And it just, the Lord pours out the blessing and understanding, and He just enlivens it to me. You know, there are other times, though, I go to the Word of God and I open it up, and it's always good. But there are some times it doesn't do that for me. You know, I can get discouraged and think, what's wrong with me? What's wrong? I'm going and I'm trying to read the Bible, and I don't feel that burning within me. Be faithful. Eat. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Even whenever I don't feel it or I don't realize it or I look at myself from day to day and I can't see the effects. I'm trying to eat healthy and I can't see the effects of it. Be faithful. Be consistent. Be diligent. And the fruit will come forth. Spiritually for us, if we're consistent, faithful, and diligent, the fruit and the evidence of it will be manifested. in our spiritual life. It'll become evident to us whenever I get into the battle then and I have the strength and I don't go into the battle starting the battle weak and defeated before I ever start. I've got strength now. It'll become evident to others. It'll add a ring. It'll add some depth to the testimony. Lord, help us this afternoon to be encouraged and challenged to delight ourselves in fatness, to partake of all the spiritual food that the Lord has for us, to have a hunger and a thirsting and a longing for spiritual food. You pray for me. Amen.